You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey, good morning. It's 7:06. Welcome back. It's Monday morning, November 17th, and it's not just me, Don. I appreciate the intro, but I've got Parker Olson down here in Madison Studio A2, and then I've got the cure for the common Mondays. That would be Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Up North News reporter Selena Heller. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Whiskers is floating around there someplace as well. never far away.
Part of the show.
Yep. Now, coming up at 7:35, we're going to open up the phone lines and have you address our question of the day, which is also the question of the week from our Sunday morning newsletter. And it just got such tremendous response right out of the gate. I would normally wait a couple of days and let that percolate, but there was such response. I wanted to find out what y'all are thinking right now, and you're already sending in some great answers. Do you have a close friend, who is politically opposite of you? If no, why not? Is that by choice or by circumstance? If yes, how do you make it work that you stay close? And believe me, there are people that are all about making it work, and there are people all about, cutting people out of their lives when, the disagreements get to be a little bit too much. So we're going to talk about that in depth at 7:35. Again, at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also put comments in the Up North News or Civic Media Facebook or YouTube pages where we stream things live. So that will be coming up in just a bit. We were talking before with Dr. Lyerly about the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show, which you can hear on Saturdays at noon and then Sundays as well across the Civic Media Radio Network. Kristen Bry was your guest this past weekend. What's coming up next?
Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Wow. I'm so excited. We're going to talk about all the cool stuff she's been doing. And of course, we're going to talk about her campaign for Wisconsin governor. Sarah and I have known each other since we handed in our nomination papers together in 2020 to run for assembly. So it feels like an eternity, but we go way back. It's going to be a great conversation.
So you've also had State Representative Francesca Hong on. Senator Kelda Royce has been on the show.
Yeah, Kelda's going to be in Green Bay tonight. So there will be some more social media coverage with Kelda as well. Yep. Really, like the array of people we have running on the Democratic side for governor is so diverse and unique and interesting. It's really an exciting time to be in Wisconsin politics.
And they are all going to Kristen Lyerly to be on her program. So tune into that on the weekends across the Civic Media Radio Network. And we're going to hear more from Selena in just a bit here about a story she's working on about the way farmers have been hit with a double whammy, not just the trade war that's affecting soybeans and other potential exports, but also now the health insurance costs that are about to go way, way up. And this is not an easy thing for Wisconsin farmers to have to deal with. First, a reminder that you can get stories that Selena's working on, I'm working on, everybody else, through our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner. You can get signed up that way. Another way is to go to our new mornings webpage. Head to upnorthnewswi.com/mornings. And then you can, again, sign up for our newsletter, or you can find the links to subscribe to this show as a podcast. And of course, Civic Media has a new daily newsletter filled with links to show highlights and more. Head to civicmediatoday.substack.com. Packers were winners yesterday over the New York Giants, 27-20. Not the easiest game in the world to watch, Kristen, after the second time that we missed an extra point in the game.
I looked looked at the record. Well, first of all, it was impossible to kick anything yesterday on the East Coast because the winds were ridiculous. But I looked at the record and the fact that they just fired their coach, I thought we were going to crush them.
Yeah, we were supposed to crush them.
But as I was reminded by little Pat Kreitlow, my 17-year-old, who is your image, they are actually not that bad of a team. They've got some real talent. So he wasn't at all surprised at how close the game was.
And also when you have a coach that just got fired, it kind of gives a team momentum, weirdly enough.
Mm-hmm. So. Also, we were our own worst enemy because somebody put Vaseline on all the receivers' gloves in the first quarter.
Well, again, wait a minute. If you're going to excuse the wind for the kickers, I mean, it was windy throwing the ball as well.
But they had it in their hands.
Might explain why it was off target or something.
No, it wasn't. I mean, defense guys had it in their
hands. Yes.
There were like seven drops. It was bad.
It was not good.
Yep. So, Selena, you watch the game at home or were you still doing your outside work?
Well, okay. So this is funny because Emery said, I said, today we're going to work in the garage. So that was our plan. Saturday was outside, all the stuff outside, cutting stuff down. And I said, and Sunday, the garage. And so when it got to be yesterday and I was like, okay, the Packer game is on, whatever. She's like, can we bring the TV in the garage?
Ah,
there we go.
Did you?
Yeah. Unplugged a TV and brought it in the garage.
See, Parker, we were talking about this an hour ago. Parker's never seen a TV on a cart, you know, because so many TVs are wall mounted now.
Oh, geez.
So when I said wheel the TV into Thanksgiving dinner to watch the Packers Lions game, yeah, I kind of got a look from him like, wheel the TV in. Like, yeah, yep.
I took it off the wall.
You took it off the wall.
I did.
That is commitment.
That is something there. That's right.
She got popcorn and she sat out on the floor in the garage with a space heater. While I was doing stuff.
You are the most Wisconsin mom ever.
Some people use a radio. It's a little thing.
Yeah, I know. See, that's what I had washing the windows. I just brought the radio along, but not Selena. She's going to make sure Emery has that TV there.
Yeah.
Good morning, Rob says from Tigerton. It is sunny and 21 degrees. It was a great weekend with the Packers winning. Many thoughts and prayers to my cousin Bert, who is having open heart surgery today. Yes, very much from us as well there, Rob. He says, I have friends who are different political views than me. I try to stay away from talking politics unless you can have an honest discussion about the views. And he said, I watched the Packer game on my phone on my walk yesterday. So, yeah, you used to have to take it along with the radio. And, Selena, what happened after the Packers missed that extra point? So we couldn't tie it up at 7. So what happened?
Well, we were anticipating, you know, Emery caught the score at first. We hadn't gone into the garage at this point. So this was still in the house. And she's like, it's 7. There's a 7 on the screen. So, I mean, that alerted her. And I said, well, it could get to 6-7. I mean, that's a possibility. She's like, what? And so when it did, I said, look, she's like, so all across Wisconsin kids lost their minds at the moment the score turned 6-7. So
here's a little...
That was her just yelling 6-7.
Yeah, she went to the TV and did the whole
emphatically doing this,
moving the hands up and down. Which Parker, by the way, you learned as a somebody did that. As a football move.
Yes.
You know, the ref, that's how they show an incomplete pass or something.
Yeah, there was a bobble. Ref had to do that, and the score happened to be.
While the game was 6-7. Okay. And nobody still knows what it means. But anyway. Selena, let's get to the story that you were working on here. Tell us about the farmer that you interviewed and got up in the combine while he was harvesting soybeans.
Yeah, it was a fun day. It was a nice day. It was sunny, and we just hung out outside. We chatted for a while and just about his farm and, you know, kind of life up until that point before that. So this is Phil Verges, and I drove. Gosh, he's out there in Pierce County in Spring Valley. So I was driving, wondering where I was going, but met him up at his farm. And he was just such a lovely time. And he was so wonderful just to kind of have me and chat for a good portion of the day. And he's been farming for 45 years. He grew up at since 10. He moved to the farm, his family, and then he's farming on the farm in Spring Valley, soybeans and corn. And so Phil talked about this was kind of a tough year with everything going on, from healthcare and tariffs and just prices of inputs and so many different things. So this is him talking kind of about the season.
Perhaps I could be perhaps having the best crop of my lifetime, yield wise. At the same time, I could be losing the most money I've ever done in my lifetime on the farm. It's very challenging. There are, you know, negative margins are negative margins. It's kind of like working all year for your employer without a paycheck, and then at the end of the year having to write your employer a check. That's kind of what it's feeling like right now.
And then, Selena, you had that double whammy. It's not just the trade, it's healthcare.
Yep. So he talks about, I love this phrase. So we talked beforehand and he talked about these, what he liked to call the modern day robber barons. And this is him talking about, you know, because Phil is, his wife worked. So he was first on her health insurance and now she just retired. And so he will have to pick up insurance for another year yet before he can qualify for Medicare. So this is him talking about the modern day robber barons.
Wealth inequality in this country is at all-time levels. The tax cuts that are being given to the wealthiest, well, I like to call them the modern-day robber barons, are on the backs of those of us hardworking people here in America that are, you know, trying to make ends meet. We're trying to, find ways to be able to afford our health care. And just the rich keep getting richer and the rest of us keep being bled dry, it seems like. So, yeah, the tax cuts at a time when we have these deficits, it just seems like the last thing we should be doing is giving tax cuts when we need to reduce these deficits. And we also need to preserve the services that we all need as Americans. To live a decent life.
Again, Phil's a farmer in the Spring Valley area. Kristen, over in Northeast Wisconsin, same thing. You've talked to farmers who are getting hit, by both trade and healthcare.
This is not a new problem. I remember Uncle Bud when I was a little kid who farmed my grandpa's farm and also had to work as an electrician so that he could get health insurance for his family. So I guess my question is, at what point are we pushed to the brink where we know we need to change the system? Look at all these Gen Z folks, Parker, you know this, who are working gig jobs. They're driving Ubers. They're doing things that don't offer benefits yet. And now they're young and healthy, but there's always that chance that something could happen. And at some point, we all need some sort of health care. We all should be getting health care. So at what point do we as a country say, nope, enough, we need something better?
I don't know. I've been asking that for 30 plus years, you know, when we're going to finally get to that point. And Selena, your story says it so well. It's like we sometimes forget farmers are like the ultimate in self-employed people. They don't get company health insurance. Mm-mm. That's what the marketplace was there for, is to get health insurance for everybody. And it's not there. So Selena's got the whole thing put together as a video package that you can see on the Up North News social media sites, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. Check it all out over there. And, of course, Kristen's got the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show that you can hear on Saturdays at 12 noon across the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's check some other sports here real quick. Again, the Packers winners over the New York Giants 27-20. The Badgers lost to second-ranked Indiana 31-7. From the heart of America's Up North, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your Monday mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It is just about 7:23 now, and we are joined once again by Up North News reporter Selena Heller talking about talking to farmers who are getting it in two different ways from the Trump administration's policies, one on trade and one on health care and health insurance. And Selena, we left off talking about, you know, the financial pressures that they're under. And there are all these people saying, well, we'll just do a bailout.
Yeah. When you bring that topic up to farmers, it's so hard because they want trade, not aid. And so, but at this point in the game, Phil Verges in Spring Valley, he's like, it's kind of a mix of reluctance and necessity when it comes to bailouts. And so we talked about that up in the combine when he was combining soybeans. So this is Phil talking about that.
You know, as a farmer, most of us hate the idea of needing a bailout, but I have to say that the bailout, any kind of bailout, would be, you know, desperately needed at this stage. But I kind of think of it more as a bailout for the corporate agriculture, because I have to say that every dollar I would get in any kind of a bailout, and that remains to be seen, but all the money I would get from a bailout would be going to pay off my crop inputs. So they would be going to the seed and chemical companies and the fertilizer companies. And you know, across the nation, if farmers don't get some relief to pay these bills, there's going to be a lot of bankruptcies, and there's going to be, you know, a lot of money lost on the side of corporate agriculture, who sells us all of our inputs. So my take on it, on any kind of a farmer bailout, is that it's going to be more of a bailout for corporate agriculture.
And that's, you know, something that we've talked about a lot with Hans Breitenmoser, and Hans will join us again tomorrow, is this near monopoly power that these big agricultural corporate giants have. That when we're talking about a farm bailout, it's not necessarily going to benefit the families, Selena.
Yeah, it's not going to help them. They need help in other ways. But like Phil said, you know, he's got to pay his bills, and that's where the money is going, because he needs money for that, to pay all of these increased inputs, costs of inputs that he has to do.
By the way, this feeds into what we're going to be talking about in our next segment, and you know, having close friendships with people who are politically opposite of you, and getting through stereotypes. And Selena, you from a farmer standpoint, I know you've heard this a lot. Some people will listen to that story, they will assume that Phil and every other farmer voted for Donald Trump, and so therefore, you know, they reap what they sow. That's what they get for voting for Trump. And I know, Selena, you were very sensitive to the notion that no, there are many, many farmers who saw what Donald Trump did last time and did not vote for him.
That's exactly right. Oh my goodness, yeah. One of the stories that I did before, the farmer did not vote for Donald Trump, and they just get annihilated online, and just because people just say those things, and that's not always the case. And although you might assume that, because that's kind of a broad brush, but it is not necessarily the case, because like you said, they've seen it in the past and they know what's coming. I mean, things were laid out, you know, in Project 2025, everything that they see what potentially is coming for them. And so, no, that's correct.
And similarly, there's folks that think like every teacher must vote Democratic. And as you're going to hear in our next segment, that's not the case. Kristen, you've lived with this. It used to be that everybody thought that every doctor was a Republican. And now there's definitely people that think, like, for example, that every OBGYN must be a Democrat. And trust me, that is not the case.
It is absolutely not the case. I would say that my profession, OBGYN doctors who provide abortion care, 50-50, we're really split. So I think what we actually need to do is just set aside who you voted for and start talking about the issues. Start getting beyond the band-aids. We need the band-aids for now. We've got to get through the now, but we really need to pick away at these problems, at the core of these problems, so we can solve them. Make sure people can get access to health insurance. Make sure that our farmers aren't so dependent on subsidies and government help so that they can do their jobs and actually feel secure in what they're doing. And this, again, is going to become more and more relevant as Gen Z continues to enter the workplace, and they've got all these gig jobs that don't have these foundational benefits that boomers and Gen Xers like I rely on. We have to work more together on issues to provide a foundation for our future.
But Kristen, we have such larger issues to work on. Selena, I'm sure that with your farm background, you are aware of the invasion across our southern border, the caravans of cattle that are arriving. This is an actual audio clip from Trump's Secretary of the Treasury over the weekend.
The beef market is a very specialized market. It goes in long cycles, and this is the perfect storm. Again, something we inherited, and there's also, because of the mass immigration, a disease that we've been rid of in North America made its way up through South America. As these migrants, they have brought some of their cattle with them.
Sorry, I keep wanting to come out of this with a straight face, and I can't. They're bringing the cattle with them over the fences and through the tunnels and everything else. Selena, are you aware of any secret herds of Mexican cattle that have snuck into Jackson County?
No, yeah, we had beef cattle, but I've never heard of such a thing.
Okay. I thought I'd check with somebody a little closer to the source. But that, again, when we're talking, and we're talking in the next segment about these political discussions, it just gets a little silly when you're asking your friends to defend stuff like that. Anyway, get on the phone, 855-75-CIVIC. What about your friends and political opposites? We'd love to hear from you. Coming up next, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. It's a Monday morning. It's November 17th. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Dr. Kristen Lyerly here as well. So this next segment was prompted by our question of the week that we do in our Sunday morning newsletter. You can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com, Sunday mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And we always have a question of the week, and then I give the results from the previous week's question. For example, the previous week's question was, you know, where should Wisconsin be in terms of legalizing marijuana? And 3% said fully prohibited, 6% said medical use only, 6% said make CBD oil legal, and then the other 85% wanted total legalization. Now, again, not a scientific survey, but we wanted to know what the readers of our Sunday morning newsletter had to say. Well, next then, Kristen, this all came up from a poll by NBC News that I put in yesterday's newsletter that showed 82% of Republican respondents said they have a good friend who's a Democrat. Among Democratic respondents, 64% said they have a close friend who is a Republican. And so I adjusted the wording a little bit, and I said to folks reading yesterday's newsletter, what about you? We're talking about someone you consider a close friend, because we all have acquaintances and things like that. And I said, give me either A, I do have a close friend who's definitely closer to the opposite party, or B, I don't. And if you do, how do you handle politics? Do you talk it out and stay friends, or do you avoid political talk? And if you don't, is that just by chance, or do you feel you can't be close to someone whose positions are opposed to you? And I was really surprised, Kristen, how many people really wanted to open up about that. I feel like we touched on something sensitive in the American body politic right now.
Because our friendships are important to us, and politics is dividing us, and we want to get past it, but we don't know how.
We don't, because it's not just a disagreement on, what the tax rate should be if you make $100,000. Okay, serious things about, you know, troops in the streets and secret police that are, you know, ripping daycare providers out in front of the kids. You know, that's a tougher discussion for anybody to have if they're looking to defend things, you know?
It is, but I think a lot of times we have our political beliefs or our team that we're on, and that is part of who we are and how we identify as ourselves. And then we look at what they're doing and we want to make excuses. Like, I don't agree with that, but I do agree with the thing that I identify with, whether it's being a conservative or being fiscally responsible or having been that thing all of my life and not knowing or being comfortable with change. And this requires a deeper dig and more discussions and respectful discussions. And that's not the playing field right now. We are not into respectful patient discussions. We are very much into, I'm on this side, you're on that side, and let's just battle it out.
Yeah. 855-75-CIVIC. We'd love to hear your thoughts on, do you have, you know, close friendships with people who are politically opposite? How do you do it? And maybe instead you've lost friendships as a result of politics. And do you regret it or not? From Rob in Tigerton, he writes, this is why I hold my Highway 29 project dear to my heart, that both political parties worked together. I honestly miss those days when political parties worked together. And he said, I have to be honest, we've got to have open and honest conversations. It's something that I learned from Kristen.
Aw, thanks, Rob.
And then meanwhile, we had Alicia writing earlier on YouTube, I went no contact with my mother because she's so MAGA, it wasn't healthy for me or my kids. She is okay with everything, she says in capital letters, that this administration is doing.
And that's so hard when it's your parents or your sister or your brother.
And I've got some examples of that from the emails that have come in. But right now we've got Jim on the line from Brookfield. Jim, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Where are you on close friendships and politics?
And how's your knee?
Good morning.
And how's your knee?
Oh, thank you for asking. I just had the 8-week evaluation with the surgeon, and he said it's right where it should be. It's still swollen, which I was surprised. And I was also surprised, he said, well, icing it at this stage will not do so much. You shouldn't let Mother Nature take care of the swelling of it, but keep doing your PT. We could check back in 4 more months if you like. He said, but it's right where it should be. So thank you for asking about the knee.
Awesome.
All right. Good.
All right. Well, thank you. And so regarding having mega friends, close friends, no. I mean, because I grew up with all my close friends who I've known many, many years. We went to the same schools and churches and whatnot. And no, we have common values, and there are no close friends in the mega world. However, in a large, you know, social network, there are friends, you know, I wouldn't call them acquaintances, but friends that did pull that lever for Mr. Trump. And you find out subtly that it's mostly single issue voting. You know, a good friend of ours who's in our ski club, you know, we are in a ski series out of Lampen Peak in Waukesha County starting fairly soon. And we found out that she posted on Facebook during the Doge purge, please help Elon Musk. He needs a lot of help and support because he's getting trashed. Well, it's because of single issue. Her husband's a big hunter and is afraid the Democrats are going to take away the guns. So it's very, very unfortunate when a single issue like that, you know, enable somebody or a couple to pull the lever for Mr. Trump and to go into that mega universe. How do we deal with it? Basically, we just avoid, you know, those type of topics because they unfortunately are in that crowd. Don't confuse me with facts. My mind's made up. And if you have a civil discussion with them, which you can somewhat subtly, you're never going to change their mind. So yeah, you don't want to eliminate them as a friend, you know, not ski with them, whatever, but you just have to accept their difference.
And that's, you know, kind of what I get into of, you know, to what degree can you do that? And Kristen, you and I are a little different because we've run for office. And, you know, so people know we like to talk politics, want to talk politics. Uh-huh. Jim, I really salute you for, you know, being able to do other kinds of activities like ski club and others. And I want you, Jim, to continue to have immense pride in yourself that you are doing much better in your rehab than an actual medical doctor who keeps setting back her progress over here, Jim. So if maybe you want to give any advice to Dr. Lyerly, you should feel free.
I appreciate the opportunity, Pat. Yes, Dr. Lyerly, do what the doctors tell you to do. Do the PT And yes, you do have to grit your teeth when you're bending it. The surgeon showed us on the steps, or on a step he brought into the office, this is how you bend it, put your weight onto it. And yes, he said, it's going to hurt. And he stretched way down and he said, you have to do it. The more you do it, the quicker your recovery will go and we'll get you that knee back to 100%. So basically follow doctor's orders. That's my advice.
I hear Jim saying, suck it up, buttercup.
Yeah, maybe not quite that, but work with the doctor. Hey, Jim, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thanks, Jim.
You as well. Thank you. You're welcome. Right, thank you.
Yep. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And again, I'm glad to hear that because, again, we're kind of weirdos that way, having run for office. So, I mean, I'm not going to say it's tougher for me, but people are going to know I'm going to want politics, as a discussion point. So I feel like we're working too hard to avoid, like, even doing anything together because, you know, it's going to come up. And that's really unfortunate.
Yeah, it's a little different for us because people know where we stand. Mm-hmm. So that also, though, for us, gives us a platform and kind of an obligation to talk about it. Not in like a ramrod kind of way, but my favorite question is, tell me more about that. I love it when people want to audition an idea and I'm like, tell me more about that. I really want to understand where you're coming from. And it's sincere. I do, because we all don't share mm-hmm. the same perspective. So I learn things too.
Okay. Let me rattle off a few of the responses. And like I said, we got so many here. So again, A, do you have close friends? B, you don't. And so rather than names, I'm just going to read off the responses here. One says, A, I do. We avoid politics for the most part, but it's getting harder to ignore the difference of opinion. One says, A, a lot of these are A, but you can tell the pain in their voice. I've watched my two oldest friends since childhood, move to right-wing ideologies over the years. Both are bright and college educated. I've watched both change and become more settled in their conservative values over the years. I don't understand it, but still love them both. We don't talk politics, science, religion, environment, abortion, taxes, healthcare, DEI, education, energy, crime, immigration, elections, voting, global warming, LGBTQ+. We talk hometown sports and weather. Mm-hmm. That's a whole lot of how about those Packers?
Yeah.
That's it. Others say my answer is B. Even my Republican brother voted Democrat this year because of who has been running as Republicans now. Yes, I do, but it is hard to understand how they can support what is going on today, but it is their right, and we need to respect it. I might add that we lost what we thought were very good friends over voting for Obama. So lesson learned. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, I sometimes forget how that really strained some friendships back in the day when Barack Obama was first running for president.
Yeah. If you're losing friends over these things, though, like how good was that friendship to begin with?
Well, I think it was rooted in shared values, and some of the values that you hear expressed that wouldn't come up unless you were talking politics. Mm-hmm. One person describes it here as, you know, it was just a gut punch, you know, mm-hmm. to realize. One said, I've ended 2 30-plus-year friendships. I'm old enough that I'm really into, I don't have to hang on to toxic relationships anymore. Mm-hmm. Here's one. This one I don't think is about close friends, but clearly somebody that wanted to vent on this. Says, is it a coincidence that all of my really close friends are of one party? I don't think so. We share common concerns about what is happening in this country. I used to be able to express my point of view and have good back and forth conversations, but being called vile, communist, sheep, or snowflake, or to be told that Democrats should not be allowed to vote, or worse yet, be jailed or executed, goes too far. I don't know that that comes up in friends conversations, but you do hear people talk like that or see it in the comment sections, and you know, it really gets to somebody. 855-75-CIVIC, if you want to chime in, 855-752-4842.
That kind of rhetoric, though, is encouraged from the very top of MAGA world. It didn't used to be that. You would never hear Ronald Reagan or George H.W. Bush or George Bush talking like this. Even Dick Cheney, who was such a villain during the George Bush presidency, you would never hear these kinds of words or the ugliness, the finger pointing, the middle school behavior coming from these people. Mm-hmm. So this is just a different time. And I think we need to get past this time, which we will. And then we need to rethink how we talk to each other. And COVID didn't help because we were stuck in our houses. We were isolated. We were watching things on television. And it was changing the way that we communicate. We can do this, but it's going to need, it's going to mean that we have to have these face-to-face conversations. Mm-hmm. And again, they have to be rooted in respect.
I have never watched a cat work so hard to crawl through a window as that cat behind you was working just now, trying to scratch that window right out. Somebody really wants to visit you. Is it breakfast time?
No, he's been fed. He likes to, in the morning, he likes to come in, go out, come in, go. He does it about 10 times. Like so that's why I ignore him.
I was hearing it then, but then I'm seeing this on the glass, you know, the pause back and forth. And I'm like, okay. One last one here from somebody, because it's not just friends, it's kids. My son is very pro-Trump. My daughter-in-law is more on the fence. I'm active with Democrats locally. We generally don't talk politics. When we do, we listen to each other's views and discuss why we disagree. If it gets heated, we just agree to disagree. We can't have a relationship if we can't talk about it. Mm-hmm. Our relationships need to endure past this administration. And I think that's the point you were trying to make too as well, Kristen.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. This too will pass.
Thank you for chatting, staying a little longer and chatting through this with me. I appreciate it.
I love waking up with you, Pat, and Parker.
You're the best. All right. You have a good start to the week. We'll see you Friday.
Sounds good. Thank you, my friend.
Talk to you later. See ya. State Senator Jody Habersynnekin is joining us in the 8 o'clock hour to talk about saving the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Project. That's after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's a Monday morning, November 17th. Nice to have you along. 855-75-CIVIC is the phone number. 855-752-4842. Jimmy Koska, Civic Media Sports Director, joins us to talk a bit about a Packer game that, once again, while it was a win, these are no longer easy games to watch. Kristen described the Vaseline that appeared to be on the gloves of receivers and the so many times we could have had an interception that didn't. There were the missed extra points. I now feel like maybe we're romanticizing the Favre Rodgers era, but it's not as easy as it used to be, Jimmy, I don't think.
Hey, you know, Aaron Rodgers is hurt. Jordan Love is hurt. Who do you call? Number four.
There we go. He's got his Brett Favre coffee mug. He's ready. I don't think so. I don't think he can do
that. No, I'm totally joking. By the way, Favre is way, way too old at this point.
He could come back from retirement, right?
No, the Packers they've been interesting this year just in that they've been described as a team that plays down to opponents. And I don't know if that's even the case anymore, because if you look at them, they've really in the last month, I just feel like the offense, which started so well this year, has really slid off the tracks. And if you compound that with all the injuries that they've had now, first it was Tucker Kraft, now it's Jacobs and Love, the offensive line, with just everything that's happening, it does give you a lot of concern going into the back half of the season now, where the schedule does tick up a notch. I mean, you've got a bunch of conference games, you've got teams like Baltimore and Denver, you've got just a backloaded schedule.
Here's the schedule now. So next Sunday, it's hosting the Vikings at noon, and then they play again 4 days later on Thanksgiving at Detroit. Then Sunday, December 7th, they're home against the Bears. So you got three division games, then a game at Denver, but then you're at Chicago once again, and then you got Baltimore, like you said, and then you're at Minnesota. There's no cupcake on this. The closest thing is Minnesota, which is having, thank goodness somebody's having a worse year. I mean, they are unhappy little Vikings over there.
Yeah, that's a quarterback issue there. And the thing is, though, with the Vikings, I mean, the Packers-Vikings games are going to be tight no matter what you do. So, yeah, I would say if you're a Packers fan, it's okay to be frustrated with how things have gone. I would say maybe a little less frustrated over the Eagles game, given what happened with the Detroit game last night and just seeing them take Detroit and completely stop their offense, too. That's an elite defense. So, but I think overall, I think for the Packers, with the schedule about to kick up here after this Giants, this is the last kind of, I don't want to say easy, because nothing's easy in the NFL, but the last sort of, you know, weaker team on the schedule, things are about to get a lot more difficult.
Yeah, I mean, now if they're accused of playing down to their competition, better turn that around and play up to it and see if they can do that. We're talking to Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cuska here about the Packers and other sports over the weekend, where, you know, that Badger football team, they really looked competitive for the first quarter. But they play four quarters, I guess, in this game, Jimmy, and Indiana kind of caught up and then some real quick.
And Indiana, by the way, going into that game, had some of the greatest hits of the Badgers over the last, you know, 20 years or so, where Bucky's putting, you know, 70 points on him and just taking it to him the last couple of decades.
It's amazing what a little NIL money will do for a college football program. Suddenly Indiana is like number two in the country and defeated the Badgers 31-7. The Badgers have still not beaten a top 10 team on the road since 2019. They will next be in action this coming Saturday night, hosting Illinois at Camp Randall, and we'll have that game on some of the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. You've got Badger men's basketball tonight against Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, which is somewhere near St. Louis, and then after that come games in Salt Lake City and San Diego. The women's Badger basketball team defeated UW Green Bay yesterday afternoon, which I guess hasn't happened for a little while here. So they will next play Wednesday at UIC in Chicago. And Jimmy, you, of course, are following all kinds of high school football playoff action.
Yep, this is state football week. So on Saturday, it was McDonald, which is in Chippewa Falls, defeating Gilman, getting revenge for an earlier blowout loss, winning the eight-player championship in Wisconsin Rapids Saturday. This week are the 7-11-player football games, which happen Thursday and Friday in Madison. And I tell you, this week in Madison, Camp Randall's the place to be, because not only do you have the 7 state high school football championships, but you've also got the Badgers, as you mentioned, Saturday night. You've also got the Culver's Isthmus Bowl, which happens Saturday afternoon. That's a pretty good week in my book. This is one of my favorite weeks of the year for that reason. I have a big old circle on my calendar where basically people just leave me alone at the end of this week. This week, starting with state football Thursday, you go through Thanksgiving and deer hunting season. Like, this is one of my favorite spots on the calendar. It's like 10 days of just, I get to do cool things. So,
okay. But now you have to remind me what the Isthmus Bowl is.
It's a Division III bowl game for the WIAC and CCIW. So teams that don't make the playoffs in those two conferences, the top teams in each league play each other. It was Wisconsin's first college football bowl game. And I've been the broadcaster of it for the last, since it started, you know, 5 years ago this year, because half of the conference in Wisconsin, the WIAC, made the NCAA tournament. It is the fifth ranked team in the league actually taking on, that is UW Stout. They'll be taking on WashU out of St. Louis in the game this year. Yeah, half the teams in the WIAC made the NCAA tournament, Pat.
That's amazing. That I would not have thought the WIAC was turning into a powerhouse, but again,
were the first team to send three to the NCAA tournament. Then they expanded it last year, and now they're the first conference to send four teams to the NCAA tournament. So, it is loaded. It's the SEC of D3, as they're frequently referred to.
Gotcha. Buzz Williams returned to Marquette, but as the coach of Maryland, and Maryland beat Marquette 89-82. Let's see. And the Milwaukee Bucks, they beat Charlotte on Friday as part of the NBA Cup. And then Saturday, they got beat up badly by the Lakers 119-95. They next play at Cleveland tonight. Don't know which Bucks team is going to show up.
Yeah, and injuries there playing a part, much like they are the Packers. The Bucks are pretty banged up themselves.
Yeah. And then finally, Badger men's hockey split with Ohio State. Badger women's hockey swept St. Cloud State. And for all this and more, head over to civicmedia.us. Jimmy Cuska is keeping it all on track. Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you, guys.
All right, we'll see you on Wednesday morning. Coming up in the next hour, we'll talk to State Senator Jody Habersynekin about efforts to save a wildly popular bipartisan program, the Stewardship Program for Land Conservation. So why is it in danger of being unfunded? You know why. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.